It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 20th day of July, 2023. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb, too. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. If you are, as a matter of fact, listening live to the program even right now as I speak, well, I encourage you to augment your listening experience by running over to HeadOn.live and popping in to the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Pick out a screen name, a password. Jump right in. You'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Anatole and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo. Hey, y'all. Great to see you this Thorn in the Side Thursday afternoon. And hopefully more folks will hop by. The banter, the back and forth, and the conversation is all Jim Dandy. Hi, I'm Robin. Theo reminds us, we landed on the moon 54 years ago today. Mm-hmm. So that would be July the 20th, 1969. July the 20th, 1969. I remember watching it on TV. I was terribly excited. I had been basically raised on the space program. When I was born, it was the centennial year of the state of West Virginia, and my grandmother made a quilt for me. It was the official centennial design for the state of West Virginia. The quilt pattern. It was a gold border with white, a single white star in each of several navy blue blocks. And, of course, you can do with the back of the quilt anything you want. And in my case, it being 1963 and all, she backed the quilt with a sheet of little astronauts. And so with every launch, I was there in front of the TV, including the horrifying night that three astronauts burned alive on the launch pad. But they didn't quit, and they kept going. And you know what? They didn't try to come up with weasel words like Leon Scum's people did and call it a rapid unplanned conflagration or anything like that. NASA owned it. NASA did everything in their power to figure out why it happened, solved the problem, And a few years later, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Theo tells us that his daddy built tooling for the Apollo spacecraft. That's just amazing. And I grew up with kids whose parents worked at Redstone Arsenal and commuted from Florence to Huntsville, Alabama. And we were very, very much into the space program, because that was going to be the future. That was going to, and it was never going to stop. We were going to go to the moon, and then because Wernher von Braun had already come up with the plan to be on Mars, we were going to use the moon as a stepping stone to Mars. And, well, granted, NASA back then was a bit problematic. They purged periodically under the leadership back then. They purged anyone thought to be even remotely non-cisgender and heterosexual. And it, and Wernher von Braun, old Nazi that he was, at one point in time joked, "We have made allowances on the spacecraft for 109 pounds of recreational equipment." He met a woman. Yeah, really. Sorry. The rocket goes up. Who knows where it comes down? It's not my concern, says von Braun. Oh, well. But this is that anniversary. Getting ahead of myself, though, if you're listening to the podcast, please like and subscribe to it and help other people find out about it, please. It costs nothing, and it's a great help as we grow the community and people find out what an amazing little exercise in independent, progressive, non-commercial, non-capitalist broadcasting we have had going on here for almost two decades. That being said, though, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out. Thanks go out to our 20th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you so much to Matt in San Francisco. And thanks as well to Dr. John in New Mexico. And thanks, Reverbo, out in Colorado. Reverbo, the human man, still waiting for his helium-filled pants. And thank you to Armand. And thank you to Ralps. And thank you to Vincent. Thank you so very much for helping us keep it all going, all the plates spinning on all the sticks. Where does that leave us in terms of the fundraising goal? Well, that leaves us at $2,085 to go to get caught up. So that's 6 days and $285 worth of a seventh day. Which means that Thursday's unfunded, this to today, Thursday's unfunded, Wednesday's unfunded, Tuesday's unfunded, Monday's unfunded, Friday's unfunded, Thursday's unfunded, and last Wednesday, not yesterday, but a week ago yesterday, is unfunded to the tune of $285. It is, it's difficult to run even the cheapest of little radio networks that way. And I have to be gone again this weekend. I will have been gone every weekend this July because I'm trying to, well, Annette's doing her part here on the home front. She's been looking after the grandbabies while my daughter-in-law have gone down to Tennistan, where my son has been for the last 3 weeks, and he just got a job. And they're trying to set up housekeeping. They've lived with us for quite some time now, but they really want to spread their wings and fly in the hills and hollers of East Tennistan. And they've got to be, well, this is going to be a special trip this Saturday. We'll leave out of here, and I will have the most precious of cargo with me. I will have my beloved daughter-in-law, and I'll have my two granddaughters, one of them almost six, one of them a little past one, and the youngest is waiting to emerge into this world. Can't wait to see her. And so I'm doing all of this and trying to keep the program going, the power on, the water running, the internet on, the phones on. And frankly, there's not enough to do all of that. So any help we can get, keep catching up with that monumental, hair-raising, terrifying deficit that's kind of got, there may not be a show next month written all over it, would be greatly appreciated. But we've lived from month to month for as long as this program has existed. And I've continued to be here, and y'all have continued to keep it going. So, you know what? I may have miscalculated. Stand by. Yeah, I did miscalculate. So the number is actually 2060. 2060. Thank you. Now, where do we begin with this thorn in the side Thursday? Well, I'd kind of like to go back just a little bit, if that's okay. I want to go back and talk a little bit because Joy in Ann Arbor and I were briefly conversing after yesterday's program. Because yesterday, like I said, the maggots have done a lot, and the tea baggers and the Republicans generally, the loyal Bushies and whatnot, have done some pretty odious damned things over the years. But yesterday just felt like it was especially vulgar, especially sleazy. Based on what I'm running out of pejoratives to use on Marginal Trailer Queen. She is vulgar. She is odious. She's hateful. She's spiteful. She's vengeful. She's ugly. She's nasty. She is bone deep, awful. She's ugly on the outside and ugly on the inside. You know, the last time somebody said that about her, she said, "I'm being sexually harassed." But she is. And so the question obtains, where did she get those purported photographs of Hunter Biden that she held up in front of the entire public and members of government who were in that government oversight committee hearing yesterday? And the answer is, she got those photographs, allegedly, from, where else? Hunter Biden's laptop! And then the question becomes, how did she get hold of something on Hunter Biden's laptop? Well, she alluded to the fact that these photos were being uploaded to an amateur porn site. I have no idea because I don't know about amateur porn sites. I'm woefully ignorant of that. I mean, I know that Pornhub exists, and I know that X-Hamster exists. Have I spent any time finding out what it means that they exist? No, I haven't. But Hunter Biden's laptop, which somehow or another was purloined and wound up in that weird dude's computer shop somewhere in Delaware and has been a fetish object for the maggots ever since. Apparently they think that the evidence of who really killed JFK might be on the laptop. Just ask Nitwit Nero, he'll tell you.
It was Ted Cruz's father.
The location of the final resting place of Amelia Earhart. What really happened to Elvis?
He's not dead. I know. I know where he is. He's in Tennessee.
They fulminated and gone wild over it. But in the final analysis, Hunter Biden is a private citizen. And the fact that the laptop was stolen from him or purloined from him or taken from him and that content off of that laptop was then displayed in a congressional hearing, somewhere along the way, there needs to be some actionability. She asked questions, marginal trailer queen did, of the witness yesterday, and it tended to indicate that the IRS guy somehow or another knew something about the whistleblower, who apparently is not very good at whistleblowing. He knew something about where the photos came from because he was answering questions about amateur porn sites. Now, we clown around here and we carry on and we have our fun. But I do have a pretty well-developed sense of propriety. And just talking about all this stuff makes me feel dirty. As in, shower with bleach dirty. Vile. But maybe, I know it sounds crazy for me to say this, but I've just been sort of trying to flesh this out in my head. You know, I was once just an old dumb country lawyer. But a lot of the stuff that I learned when they were rearranging my brain in law school stuck with me. And it seems to me that perhaps within the scope of Jack Smith's investigation of January 6th, if it was to turn out that there was perhaps a perception of probable cause for some level of activity, seditious conspiracy participation therein by, a spork-footed, bleach-blonde congresswoman from the 13th District of Georgia, not to be too specific, then it might actually be within Jack Smith's brief to sort of cold trail how Marge came by those obscene photos. Remember, Potter Stewart's definition of obscenity was that he couldn't define it, but he knew it when he saw it. And then there's other definitions, such as lacking any artistic, political, social merit, and being put forward solely to appeal to prurient interests. Well, when you consider that yesterday's hearing was about IRS whistleblowing, I'm hard-pressed to figure out how it is that a photograph of Hunter Biden getting blown fits within the scope of that. Now, of course, James Comer, the more useless than a stopped clock chair of House oversight, let Marge go on and on and on and on, and even go over time and continue to display the pornography. But somewhere along the way, there needs to be some level of accountability for such a brutal invasion of privacy. And maybe you can't punish Marge for displaying it in a hearing, but she might damned well be prosecutable for the means in which she obtained it. Randy Radar tells me Tom Hartman claims that the Russians got into his iCloud account, cloned the laptop, and dumped it on a Delaware computer repair shop. Revenge porn is illegal in D.C., and Representative Green may be guilty of that. Well, if she is, it would have to be in some other context, Randy Radar, other than what her shameful display yesterday, because the speech and debate clause, sadly, protects everything she did. But to the extent that she obtained it for purposes of humiliating Hunter Biden in a congressional hearing, that might be where the revenge porn lies. I haven't seen the revenge porn statute, however, so I don't even know if it's applicable. Our pal David in South Carolina, Stan, says, MTG, I bet if we find out a source of funds that made MTG a billionaire, we also find the source of the photos. Billionaire, David? Has she made it to billionaire? I mean, I have no doubt she's a millionaire now. Because doing what she is doing on behalf of the MAGOT party, well, they will pay handsomely for that shit. Curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. Thank you, Kevin, in Massachusetts. Thank you so much. We are down to 2030 now to go. And that means we are down to 230 to get last Wednesday fully funded. Thank you. Thank you so much. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And, well, and we've got some shamefully vapid stories to go into. But some serious stuff as well. And by the way, while we're at it, apparently there's been I don't guess it qualifies as exactly a Mark Meadows sighting. But some Mark Meadows information. Our buddy John in Central PA sent this along. An individual by the name of Andrew Wertman, pro-democracy, gay as fuck, GOP, hates U.S., democracy. Blue check Twitter guy. Blue checks used to mean something on Twitter. But Andrew Wertman says, Mark Meadows removed more than 1,000 pages of classified documents from the White House at Trump's direction late at night during the final night of Trump's presidency, according to government records and interviews with several individuals with firsthand knowledge of the matter. Meadows removed the records from the White House on the orders of Donald Trump, despite advice from the White House attorneys that this would circumvent the long-established and official procedures in place for declassifying them before making them public. According to a previously unreported email from a top official of the National Archives to an aide to Trump, the archives had concluded that many of the records removed from the White House by Meadows remained classified despite efforts by Trump to declassify them at the time. Experts on government secrecy and declassification say this raises serious questions as to whether Meadows' removal of the records violated federal law. Among the people with firsthand knowledge that Meadows removed the records is Cassidy Hutchinson, former aide to Meadows, who, as you may recall, dropped a big dime on him. She personally witnessed Meadows taking the papers, putting them in the trunk of his car to take home. Her description of Meadows' removal of classified records is included in previously undisclosed details from an interview she provided to the January 6th committee. And this is apparently separate from other document removal cases or issues. So it will be interesting to see what Jack Smith makes of that. And he is moving, as we noted, with remarkable speed. But speaking of Nitwit Nero, in the past 24 hours, Nitwit Nero trumped out a video of him that is nothing if not threatening. He re-trumped it from his rickety, falling-apart social media platform. It was somewhere around 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or a little after. I guess he'll claim that it's not his fault, because he just re-trumped it. Somebody calling themselves American AF put out this video with an intense and ugly close-up of Nitwit Nero's face.
If you fuck around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before.
Huh. And, of course, in his case, a re-trumping is a tacit approval. It's a clip from some previous burbling of his. It was back in October of 2020. When he gave an interview to the Pineapple Prince, the big old dead Rush Limbaugh, now terribly, terribly busy in the afterworld in perdition. My friends, these pineapples are becoming annoying! Yeah. October 9th, 2020, the Washington Post reported, down in the polls and isolated by illness, President Trump retreated to the safe spaces of two Fox networks and Rush Limbaugh's radio program in a 36-hour burst of media interviews 3 weeks before Election Day. Utterly oblivious to the fact that the people whose votes he needed were neither watching Fox nor listening to America's gas bag. The sprawling, somewhat manic phone-in interviews put Trump front and center on the radar of many of his most loyal supporters via the most conservative-friendly media outlets, but arguably did little to reach the independent and moderate voters Trump will need to close the gap with former Vice President Joe Biden. There was some interesting timing insofar as he re-trumped that Trump. It gets confusing trying to describe what's going on over on that hot mess of an amateur social media platform. But you can tell that the heat is up and the pressure cooker is sealed, because between the target letter and the steady drip, 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 drip of information, and a federal judge refusing to hear Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's case against him in federal court and instead leaving it in the trial court in Manhattan. Wow. The seams are getting... I don't know. Given the recent past, maybe it's getting a little creaky in there, and maybe Nitwit Nero's feeling like he's kind of in a libertarian death thermos. And maybe one day soon it'll be he was there and then poof, he wasn't here. Thank you, Henry. Henry, thank you so very much for jumping in and helping out. We are now down to $2,005 to go to get caught up. That means we are $205 away from having last Wednesday fully funded. Last Wednesday was, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday, and the deacons have just been moving back and forth ever since. Still moving, ever moving. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much. They had another bullshit hearing in the House today. Of course, all hearings in the House are bullshit hearings. Oh, wait. Note coming in from Kevin. Seems like the MAGA GOP are doing the same with Hunter Biden as they did with Hillary in 2016. It was all sizzle and no steak with Hillary, but it didn't matter as long as they kept her name with all the buzzwords. Top secret classified, server in her house, emails, Podesta! With Hunter, it's Biden crime family, laptop, etc. Even if there's no stake, just keep repeating it. Here's a buck says they'll invent a blockbuster on Hunter and the Biden crime family next year. They know they have to throw some spaghetti at the wall. And God knows it's a shitty spaghetti sauce too, Kevin. It's made entirely of ketchup. It's just noodles and ketchup. Because maggots. But you're right. I mean, remember in the song that Scott originally coined for us and which I expanded upon, Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our times. Benghazi! Right. Hunter Biden! Aye! But like I said, all the hearings being held in the House of Representatives these days are bullshit. And today was especially bullshit-laden because Rotted F.K. Jr. showed up to testify on the Hill. Yeah. The House majority in the House Judiciary Committee invited a convicted felon, anti-vaxxer, racist, fascist adjacent, stone cold asshole to testify. And eventually, Stacey Plaskett, a Democrat from the Virgin Islands, who is not to be around with, don't fuck with me, fellas, had about all she could stand from Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Because, as usual, the rules don't apply if, like yesterday, Marge was allowed to go on and on and on with her little porn, her little pornography show, well after her allotted time was over. And when it became clear what the game was, Stacey Plaskett called out Jim Jacketoff Jordan.
He's going to go a little longer.
Excuse me, point of order. I know that witnesses usually have 5 minutes. I see 10 minutes on the board. Is it right. Going to be 10 minutes?
We'll
for
give him
every
5 minutes, but we're pretty lax with this. We'll let him go for
we are?
A little. Yeah,
I've seen you gavel down on quite a number of witnesses.
We've given senators and former Democrat members of Congress and all kinds
he's
of folks.
Neither.
Time.
He's neither. He's neither.
I'm just saying in past history.
Okay.
In
okay. But we'll watch the time for all the witnesses.
And then. If you want to cut him off and censor him some more, you're welcome to do it.
Oh, that's not my job. That's your job. Why don't you threaten a witness so that they can
Mr.
not want to be a witness?
Mr. Kennedy is recognized for his opening statement. We'll give him 5 minutes, more or less, and then we'll move to the next one. Mr. Kennedy, go right ahead.
Mr. Kennedy, lie right ahead. Such ugliness. But again, they're not making any pretense now of who they are. Because in inviting Rotted FK to testify, let's make clear that only recently, I mean, this isn't something that he said 5 or 2 or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. We're talking about the immediate recent past, namely an interview a blathering in New York City at a dinner event at Tony's de Napoli on the Upper East Side, he declared, and this is so ugly, so utterly filthy, so thoroughly vulgar. I know I keep using vulgar, but it seems to be an applicable word for our time. Rotted FK, earning his nickname, declared that the coronavirus had been engineered. Okay, that's your first tell that he's full of bullshit, because it is not a leaked laboratory experiment or failure. It was not engineered. But nonetheless, a week ago Tuesday, he declared that the SARS-CoV-19 virus was engineered to sicken, I feel, again, I'm going to be showering with bleach after the program, to sicken Caucasian and black people while leaving Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese people unscathed. This isn't just being a shithead. Rotted FK is now officially evil. Stone cold evil. I mean, I've known for years that he was a philandering son of a bitch. But this is evil. And his anti-vax and his racism are traceable to at least 2020. Spreading false information about the virus. And according to the reporting in The New York Post, I mean, come on. COVID-19, he said. There is an argument. See, notice, he's been to law school, so he knows how to phrase a statement as an assertion of fact, and yet at the same time have it be made up of language that he can later go back and say, that is not what I said. COVID-19, there's an argument that it is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately. Well, first of all, rotted FK, you rotten fuck. There's no such thing as race. There's ethnicity, but not race. Attacks certain races disproportionately. COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. We don't know whether it was deliberately targeted or not, but there are papers out there that show the racial or ethnic differential and impact. And, you know, show me the website where those things are posted. They're probably right-wing, neo-Nazi, you know, white supremacist, white nationalist, you know, Republican. Maybe it's over at that website that rhymes with light and fart, of which his buddy, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smell, Stevie Three Shirts, hangs out. Let me see if I can, because I prefer that we hear this directly from Rotted FK, because it, like I said, it makes me feel ugly and dirty and mean even to read the quotes. Just a second. Hopefully we'll get there pretty quickly now. He has since gone on a denial tour, but nonetheless. Well, damn it. Yeah, maybe I can find it this way. Sorry for the dead air. Usually pretty good at multitasking, but sometimes it just takes a little bit more focus. Oh, let's see. Some more scrolling than I expected on this. We've got lots of audio. I wouldn't have this much dead air if I didn't think that there was something valuable in this. Midas Touch has the audio. Somewhere. Let's try a different manner. Because we're going to follow up on this ugliness. And there it is, I think. Yeah, here we go. Now he's going to claim that he was completely, totally, thoroughly, and absolutely misunderstood. So here are rotted FK's words.
And we need to talk about bioweapons. Well, I know a lot now about bioweapons because I've been doing a book on it for the past 2.5 years. And, you know, the technology that we now have to develop these microbes, we've put hundreds of millions of dollars into ethnically targeted microbes. The Chinese have done the same thing. In fact, COVID-19, there's an argument that it is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately. The races that are most immune to COVID-19 are because of the structure of the genetic structure, genetic differentials among different races of the receptors. Of the ACE2 receptor, COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and Black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. But we don't know whether it was deliberately targeted that or not. But there are papers out there that show the racial and ethnic differential and of impact to that. We do know that the Chinese are spending hundreds of millions of dollars developing ethnic bioweapons, and we are developing ethnic bioweapons. That's what all those labs in the Ukraine are about. They're collecting Russian DNA, they're collecting Chinese DNA, so that we can target people by race.
There you have it. Sounds to me like he says that there's an argument out there, right? And that's going to be his weasel words. And so that's what happened in the Judiciary Committee hearings on the weaponization of the government today. And Rotted FK leapt up onto the cross. With real aplomb. It was nothing if not ugly. And so, under oath, Rotted FK today said, fulminating,
about inflation, about the war on the middle class in this country that we need to be having. And by the way, I want to say this while I'm on the record, that in my entire life, and why I'm under oath, in my entire life, I have never uttered a phrase that was either racist or anti-Semitic. I have spent my life about inflation.
Yeah, okay. And by the way, in that video, sitting there behind him, a man I once respected, Dennis Kucinich. How damn sad. Of course, it turns out maybe he wasn't quite as clear as wanted people to think. Congressman Jared Moskowitz tweeted, "Someone close to you says otherwise, Robert F. Kennedy Jr." My husband's reference to Anne Frank at a mandate rally in D.C. was reprehensible and insensitive. The atrocities that millions endured during the Holocaust should never be compared to anyone or anything. His opinions are not a reflection of my own. That's his present wife, Cheryl Hines. But, well, we'll try to look the other way, right? And then there's the business of the bioweapons labs in Ukraine that are gathering Russian DNA. And by the way, just one more thing. If, as Rotted FK says, the SARS-CoV-19 virus was bioengineered to attack Caucasians and blacks and to spare Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese, they sure did a shitty job of it. Because, frankly, if you recall correctly, the Chinese were welding people into their homes to stop the spread, and it ran like wildfire. And the reason that it became the problem that it was because Nitwit Nero did not stop the importation of goods and the people who brought them from China. Just like the first SARS-CoV-1, does Bobby Kennedy, Rotted FK, think that the first SARS-CoV-1 virus was engineered to kill Caucasians and black people too? Because it ran like wildfire through Asia, but we happen to have a competent man in the White House who put a team of real, live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding scientists together and stopped that shit cold. I know, it's terribly, terribly complicated, isn't it? But that's the world we live in. He's disgusting. The whole affair was disgusting today. And the maggots are who the maggots are, and, well, Rotted FK is working for the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Steve Bannon. And they went way deep into the paranoid weeds today. Rotted FK declared that COVID killed a beloved sports the hero, a giant of a man, Hank Aaron. Really? When Hank Aaron died in January, Rotted FK, weaponizing his paranoia, said it was part of a wave of suspicious deaths among elderly closely following administration of COVID vaccines. He received, Hank Aaron did, the Moderna vaccine on January 5th to inspire other black Americans to get the vaccine. And Jacket Off Jordan said, just pointing out facts, when he said that he was supportive of Rotted FK's wild-eyed, mad, paranoid spewings. Today, Jim Jacket Off Jordan criticized the White House for flagging Kennedy's tweet as misinformation. Misinformation is when you don't have the facts right, says the guy who got his law degree from a school that you have to mail in the back of a matchbook to go to. But when you look at Mr. Kennedy's tweet, there was nothing in there that was factually inaccurate. Hank Aaron, real person, great American, passed away after he got the vaccine, pointing out facts. Now, the real fact of the matter is, Hank Aaron was 86 years old when he died, and there is no evidence of anything but the fact that he died of natural causes. Yeah. We live not only in perilous times, but in embarrassing ones, too. Dan Goldman was there today. But before we go to Dan Goldman, how about going back to Stacey Plaskett? Because she humiliated Rotted FK something fierce. Pointing out, you know, Mr. Kennedy's own family decries his stance on vaccines and families disagree on a lot of things. I got family members that, you know, we all disagree, so that doesn't mean anything. But the fact that he has famously sent a request to a party guest that they had to be vaccinated to come to his party. And I'd like to introduce into the record a letter from Lewis Silkin, a law firm representing Mr. Kennedy, which states, as he has stated repeatedly, he vaccinated all his children. And I'd like that to be introduced into the record. And then Stacey Plaskett, being from the Virgin Islands and being black, said, Kennedy tells the black community and myself, a mother of five black children, that I should really be careful and not necessarily have the same safeguards to protect my family, my children, from a virus that has killed millions of people because I'm black. There's no secret that this is an amplification of his own platform. And at the same hearing, Representative Jerry Connolly, who is an effective member of Congress from Virginia, and whom I respect for his dedication to the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, we're still waiting for it to be introduced. Jerry Connolly didn't hold back.
I've been in this Congress 15 years. And I never thought we'd descend to this level of Orwellian dystopia. Suddenly the tools of the trade are not to get at the truth, but to distract, distort, deflect, and dissemble. To disagree is censorship. To try to correct the facts is to infringe on my right of free speech. Of course, it only works one way. The name of Dr. Fauci has been invoked. I'd love to have him here as a witness to describe his travail in being censored. But of course, with that right-wing censorship comes intimidation and threat and intimations of violence. And a wink blink that, by the way, violence, you know, can be justified. The violence, for example, here on January 6th has been explicitly excused by some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle as a bunch of tourists who got a little out of hand, a little overexcited. Five are dead, including my constituent, Capitol Hill police officer, who died the next day from the trauma and shock of that experience. And ironically, talk about free speech and duty, he voted for Donald Trump. But his duty was to be here that day.
Sober, serious, what one might expect from a member of Congress. But it was again, there's that word, vulgar. Here's a guy named Chris Stewart speaking to Maya Wiley. Maya Wiley's a lawyer. Maya Wiley is the CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights.
We agree the government shouldn't be responsible for restricting views that the American people are exposed to. We agree on that, right? You wouldn't answer it at first. Oh. But it's clear that you do agree with that.
That's a different question.
Okay, so to my question, do you agree with it or not?
I agree that the government should not violate our Constitution.
Do you agree with my question?
Your question is
should the government
whether
determine,
or not the
this is so simple.
No, it is not so
no,
simple.
No, I'm going to ask it one time, and it is so simple. A seventh grader could understand this question. Should the government be responsible for the views and the facts that the American people are exposed to?
The problem I have is that I don't
okay,
know of any
that,
facts in which the government
to,
tells us
I'm
what
I'm
going
to say that you're unable to answer a question, which for me is fairly shocking as an American citizen.
Which for me as a moron is fairly surprising. Now, again, this is just a little point of order. But in a responsible committee, the chair would intervene and say, the witness is allowed to answer. This is not that kind of committee. Oh no, far from it. This is bedlam. This is a monkey house. But like I said, Dan Goldman was in the hearing too. And he made short work of Rotted FK.
I'd like to quickly play a short video, if we could.
COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese.
Mr. Kennedy, I have a simple question for you. As an early victim of COVID, I actually got it March 10th, 2020. And my question to you is whether you think I should be worried about my genetics as an Ashkenazi Jew because I did contract COVID.
No, not at all. And that statement that you saw there is a truncated version of a larger statement.
No, I understand. You issued a clarification.
Where I was describing,
I understand. Hold on. I had a simple question. You're now going on. I'm reclaiming my time. Because what I really...
Here's the thing. Listening to this program, you have just heard Rotted FK's words in context, because his entire question, his entire defense, if I suppose if you can call it that, is that, well, you just heard him. That's a Trump. Not going to mock his voice. He's got an illness. Boy, does he have an illness. That's a truncated portion of remarks he made. Well, you heard all the remark. And there's really not a lot of context in front of or behind that that makes it any less awful for what he said. And Rotted FK is still, well, I mean, he was trying to, I guess you could say, inoculate himself once the video got out. I've never ever suggested that the COVID-19 virus was targeted to spare Jews. I accurately pointed out during an off-the-record conversation, well, no, it wasn't off-the-record, you were recorded, dipshit, that the U.S. and other governments are developing ethnically targeted bioweapons, and that a 2021 study of the COVID-19 virus shows that COVID-19 appears to disproportionately affect certain races, since the Furenkleeve docking site is most compatible with blacks and Caucasians and least compatible with ethnic Chinese, Finns, and Ashkenazi Jews. In that sense, it serves as a kind of proof of concept for ethnically targeted bioweapons, which it goddamn well doesn't. Now, Rotted FK was allotted 10 minutes, as we heard earlier, when most witnesses get only 5, and they're pretty persnickety about that. And Well... Anytime that you say that, for instance, Marginal Trailer Queen is wrong, she's, you're trying to silence me! And it's not just her, it's Clanny Granny, it's Andy Biggs, it's the Demon Dentist of the Desert, Paul Gosar. It's the whole filthy lot of them. And you can always tell how batshit crazy they are because they're screaming about being silenced while they're running their filthy, festering gobs. And so it was today. It so was today. There he was, prattling on and on and on, Rotted FK Jr. Complaining that he's being silenced while running his mouth to a packed house in a committee hearing in the House of Representatives.
That in my entire life, and why I'm under oath, in my entire life, I have never uttered a phrase that was either racist or anti-Semitic. I have spent my life fighting my professional career, fighting for Israel, for the protection of Israel. I have a better record on Israel than anybody in this chamber today. I'm the only person who has publicly objected to the $2 billion payout that the Biden administration is now making to Iran, which is a genocidal program. I'm the only one who's objected to that. I fought more ferociously for Israel than anybody. But I am being censored here through this target, through smears, through misinterpretations of what I've said, through lies, through a...
I'm being censored, he says, while he continues to run his mouth in a most uncensored fashion. Censored. I don't think he knows what that word means. And by the way, isn't all that palaver about how he supports Israel? Well, one, that's kind of racist in itself, because supporting Israel is not the same thing as supporting Jewish people. Because Jews are not a monolith. There are no small number of Jews who profoundly disagree with the United States policy toward Israel. You know, the Israel Uber Alles model. Israel can do no wrong. Whatever, you know, whenever Israel gets an urge to slaughter some Palestinians, maybe send a missile, a precision-guided missile into the crib of a Palestinian baby sound asleep in an apartment building. Shit happens, we say. And it's also the overarching concept of, I'm not a racist. Some of my best friends are black. Or, I'm not an anti-Semite. I love the Marx Brothers. I don't know if tomorrow on My Filthy Morning Habit they're going to have Donnie Deutsch on to do his brand up, brand down shtick. But this might be a good time for Donnie Deutsch to show up and say, oh, rotted FK, brand down. He is trashing and tarnishing the Kennedy family name like no one ever has. And I'm including every tawdry thing the Kennedys have ever done. Every last thing. From Pappy Joe's footsie with the German Nazis and everything else that came after. Good Christ. The lobotomization of Bobby and John's beloved sister. Lest she embarrass the boys' political ambitions. You know, whatever else is out there, that may be the absolute worst. Yeah, but oh well. Right? And so it doesn't matter how often or how fast he scrambles up onto the cross. He's still toxic, and whatever reputation he had is done. But let's move away from that filth. We're into the second hour of the program. We're trying to get last Wednesday funded. We've got $205 to go on that, and makes for a brutal month. Every bit of help is huge. New subscriptions are amazing. But this fundraising goal overall is $2,005. Hey, Bernadette! Loony fucking RFK Jr. First, it's a damn shame this man bears that last name. Second, he's being funded by Bannon, Republican money. Third, here's the real skinny on whose genes are least affected by the SARS-CoV-2 virus, according to this article from Yahoo News. Scientists identified about 1,400 people with European ancestry who had confirmed positive coronavirus infection in the first year of the pandemic, and all were unvaccinated because shots weren't available. Of that group, 136 were asymptomatic, roughly 10%. Reasons symptom-free people were tested could include the nature of their job, such as being a healthcare worker undergoing routine testing, or perhaps their family member had been infected and they were considered exposed to the virus. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, it would be white people with European ancestry that would be least likely to be affected by COVID-19, leaving everyone else to be affected, including Jews and Chinese. I don't think there's any group, Bernadette. And Bernadette says, fuck rotten fucking Kennedy Jr. I don't think there's any group of people on the planet who are not affected by COVID-19. And the only real solace, or the only real protection at first, was masks and gloves and every blessed thing that I did, and a lot of us did, before the vaccine came out, and then getting the vaccine once it was out. And of course, Rotted FK knew this, and that's why he had his children vaccinated. And that's why he made sure that party guests who came to his house also had to be vaccinated. Eugenics is an ugly thing. Of course, there are maladies, there are diseases which are targeted within certain communities in which certain communities are more likely to be affected. Sickle cell anemia comes to mind. That's the first one right there. But there are others. But no one was immune. No one was less likely to be affected, at least until the virus came out. At least until the vaccine came out. Good Lord. And again, it started in Wuhan. The data that it came from a wet market is solid. It's almost as though we have forgotten that there was a years-long effort to try to get China to shut down the damned wet markets because they were viral soups. Because when you take species that have never been around each other and you stack them on top of each other and they shit and piss all over each other, bad things happen. Megan, to quote the Princess Bride, me listening to Rotted FK, I hear you use that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. This isn't censorship. This is pure backpedaling. He got caught, and now he's upset that people are calling him out for it. Regarding Joe Kennedy, you forgot cuddling up to the mafia and stealing the entirety of Gloria Vanderbilt's fortune. It's a long list, Megan. I can't keep up. Back to marginal trailer queen's net worth. David in South Carolina, Stan, says her net worth is now $56 million, not technically a billionaire, yet pretty good for Congress critter, beginning second term, earning $174,000 a year. At this rate, billionaire status will not take long. Dear God, that's toxic. Jack in Shreveport, RFK Jr., plus Country Music Fest song kerfuffle. We'll get to that, too. I said we had some vapid shit to go into this evening. Took some looking around, but I managed to see a few moments, Jack says, of what was said to be a hearing for RFK Jr. this morning. When I tuned into the live video of the thing, there was some blonde woman harassing Maya Wiley about Biden or something. I didn't see RFK Jr. at all. Later on, whatever that new cable news channel is, I think I saw that channel play a long clip of RFK Jr. going on and on, talking about whatever topics he felt like bringing up. He said he wanted to set aside what were to be his written opening statements. And yes, I noticed the face on the body of whatever used to be Dennis Kucinich sitting right there in camera view. I think Kucinich's wife was sitting back a row and to his side. And I switched over to the Country Music Fest last night for a few minutes to see Keith Urban. I like Keith Urban, too. But first, they brought on Jason Aldean. I had captioning turned on to see the words. I had a what-the-fuck feeling through the whole thing and wondered if anyone else would. Today, I found out other people sure did. Googling the artist's name found quite a bit on the specific topic. Let me save that for later because I've got some other comments out here and I want to kind of stay on topic. RFK Jr., Stephen, New York, said, this is just so sad to hear this. It's one thing to hear the Louisiana cornpone Kennedy blather his dribble. To hear the son of Bobby Kennedy, the nephew of Jack Kennedy and Ted Kennedy, sit there and make such an unbelievable fool of himself is very hard to listen to and truly breaks my heart. Steve, you know I love you like I love my luggage, right? He wasn't making a fool of himself. He was telling the world exactly who he is, and he is evil, okay? He is evil. Whatever his motive, he's evil. Plain and simple. And I guess that's cause for even greater sadness. A lot of people have believed in RFK Jr. over the years. A lot of people have treated RFK Jr. as the potential salvation and hope for various environmental onslaughts that were levied against them. I've been part of one such group. Terrible. But we learned pretty quickly about Bobbo. Other people apparently not so much. Lee in New York says, Ashkenazi Jews, I got COVID after getting vaccinated. Mild case, no lasting problems. One of my children got an ancestry DNA test, mostly Ashkenazi. I guess my ancestry must be similar. I would sort of assume so, Lee. And just in case people don't know, there's Ashkenazi Jews, and those are Jews who, via the diaspora, wound up in various parts of Europe, mostly Eastern Europe. And there are the Sephardic Jews who are of, well, never left the Middle East. For instance, the Jewish population in Iran that were carted off during the Babylonian captivity. We sat down and wept and wept and wept. We sat down and wept for thee, Zion, you know, by the rivers of Babylon. Bernadette, more from that article. Significantly, the scientists found that people who had a particular version of a gene called HLA-B1501 were more than twice as likely to remain asymptomatic compared with those who didn't, Hollenbach said. And if a person had two copies of the HLA-B1501 version of this gene, one from each parent, they were 8.5 times more likely to have remained asymptomatic. Folks with this B1501, for whatever reason, some of them have this pre-existing immunity after exposure to seasonal cold viruses that happens to be just remarkably effective at dealing with the virus that causes COVID-19, Hollenbach said. Having this version of the gene is the key element to having this very effective pre-existing immunity. And you know what? There's an evolutionary answer that is much simpler, because I like to shave with Occam's razor. The simplest answer is most often the correct one. And that is evolution. It requires a lot less hoop jumping and a shitload less paranoia to simply acknowledge that perhaps in some time in the distant past, genetics evolved inside a population. Remember, populations evolve, individuals do not. But that a population evolved an immunoresistance to those viruses. Viruses that turned out to be similar to the COVID-19 virus. Which, if you apply it to the lab leak theory, means that if it really was a lab leak, the scientists, the bioengineers, the geneticists who were doing it were and I don't want to put too fine a point on this, really fucking stupid. So, again, there's another hoop you have to jump through. Stupid geneticists. Because you don't get to be a geneticist by being really fucking stupid. But here we are. And Steve reminds us, let's never forget, it was Donald Jesus Trump who pulled our people on the ground in Wuhan out. You know, those people had been put on the ground with the original SARS-CoV virus by, you know, that one in our White House. Barack Hussein Obama! Randy Radar says, what would have boosted confidence in the vaccines would have been to allow people to sue for a severe adverse reaction to the shots, but no. I have to disagree with you, Randy. That would have made the vaccine unmarketable. Because people respond to vaccines for a variety of reasons. And the lawsuit process within at least the American judicial model would have been pure chaos. And Rotted FK would have been out there day before yesterday, before the filing suit. And it would have been mendacious. And it would have been for purposes of harassment. And primarily it would have been for purposes of making a fast buck. Because that's been his goal all along, was to file a humongous suit against drug manufacturers for making vaccines. It doesn't matter if it's COVID. It doesn't matter if it's measles. It doesn't matter if it's chickenpox. Because Rotted FK is an anti-vaxxer. And there is no answer you can give to an anti-vaxxer that will satisfy them, because it is impossible to satisfy a conspiracy theorist. Because the fact that you cannot satisfy the conspiracy is only proof that the conspiracy really exists, and they're keeping the real truth from reaching the public knowledge. I mean, that's the kind of paranoid ravings that go on inside the anti-vax movement, and have since long before COVID-19 broke out. Remember, anti-vaxxerism did not come along with COVID. What's his name? Kenneth Copeland's daughter? She and her ugly little congregation started a mini epidemic of measles because they were anti-vax. But here's one truth. Oh, yes, here's one truth. We're going to find out again. Because there's another one coming. And the disinformation that came from places like Mother Muscovy, you know, where the Russian people were vaccinated with basically warehoused bottles of Putinka vodka. Well, misinformation continues to flow, and that's what all this free speech bullshit is about. Because the MAGA party is under orders from their Vladdy Daddy to try to make sure that the American people can be absolutely devastated by simple childhood illnesses because they're unvaccinated. Because remember, we had a golden age of vaccination where people who had watched other people die of polio or be permanently hindered in their ability to do things like walk, and did not want it to happen to them, so they lined up for the polio vaccine. You know, we had the story the other night about Greg Aspott in Texas and his drums with razor wire on them. I guess he couldn't get sharks with frickin' laser beams into the Rio Grande. But what's going to happen to that razor wire in the river water of the Rio Grande? The razor wire is going to rust. And desperate asylum seekers are going to get cut on that razor wire, and there's every reason in the world to believe they may never have had a tetanus shot. You know what it looks like when somebody dies of tetanus, otherwise known as lockjaw? It was bad enough that my parents did. And if there was any possibility that I had been hurt by a rusty piece of anything, my God, off to the doctor we went and I got a tetanus shot. Because lockjaw is a horrible, horrible way to die. And we used to believe, we used to be a country that understood that things like herd immunity were real and that the only way to achieve them was through vaccination. It is to grieve. Bernadette, F. RFK Jr., simply saying someone with that gene, mostly of European ancestry, could have caught a cold, also a coronavirus, could have given them an effective immunity to COVID-19 when it hit the world. By the way, did I say fuck RFK Jr. and all his fucking conspiracy theories? And I'm over the Republicans using cameras in the hearings to pursue their mindless minions to vote for the dick traitor in their lock, and dick traitor in their lock him up and vote the rest out. I agree wholeheartedly, Bernadette. The COVID vaccine, David in South Carolina stand, reminds us vaccine development took around 17 years because research began back in 2002 when SARS hit. It was not developed overnight. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. That's like the new RSV vaccine that's coming out. It'll be available, and it will probably save God only knows how many lives of infants and seniors if we can just get people to take it. Because RSV is the leading killer of infants in the United States. And there has been an urgency to develop a vaccine, and that work has been going on for over a decade. And we've finally gotten to the point where it's going to be available. And as present West Virginia Governor, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice once said, it's not like in any way, shape, form, or fashion it'll make you grow antlers. I mean, he's right. Even a stop clock is right twice a day, and make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice was in fact right. There is not a vaccine out there that will make you grow antlers. Jeremy in Vermont, razor wire. When you mentioned the wire and water yesterday, the first thing I thought of was tetanus and the people who may have never even been vaccinated that would encounter it.
Well, that'll serve as a deterrent to those illegal fentanyl drug smuggling Mexicans.
Really, Greg Aspott? You think so? Because I don't. Because, well, capitalism. Because drug smugglers are the biggest capitalists on earth, honey. Did that ever even dawn on a dumbass like Greg Aspott? Because I sincerely don't think it did. Whew, Lordy, it's getting hot in here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. We've crossed the 82-degree mark. There may be some naked radio in my future. The air conditioner doesn't seem to be keeping up, but hope for the best. Hey, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs got us down to $1,980 to close the gap on fundraising. And thank you, Bernadette. Thank you, Jeremy. We're down to $1,970. So we got $170 to go to finish fundraising for two prayer meetings back. Thank you so much. It means so much. Right now, just so you know, I'm looking at the power bill, the phone bill for the phone that works now, the internet bill, and, of course, I've got another trip to Tennessee to take, and I don't have any choice in the matter. So right now we're in the robbing Peter to pay Paul portion of the program. So all the help is good help. I'm not adding in more. We're just spreading it a little thinner. But if it gets much more thin, well, it's going to tear. And there's going to be holes. That said, we are at the halfway point of the program. This is conversation radio, you know. And it is also Thursday, which means we have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. So let's do that, and hey, let's find out if anybody might like to carry on some conversation. Both lines are open. The stress line, of course, is 844-843-4676. 844, the horn. And you can always reach me via Skype, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, separate word, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Robin Kincaid Horn. And if you want to talk, well, either one works nicely. And this is probably the most unique radio conversation on the air because it's all about people being experts in the in their own lives. And nobody gets hustled away. You know that. That's why we call it conversation radio instead of talk radio. But take it away, Brad and Desi.
It's Thursday, July 20, 2023.
These are not your normal weather systems of the past. They have arrived as a consequence of climate change.
United Nations warns governments must move faster to adapt to extreme heat.
If they are looking for any relief from the heat there in the U.S., they're not going to find it here in Europe.
Heat wave in Europe and the Middle East sets astonishing new records. Plus, wind and solar on track to provide more than a third of the world's electricity by 2030.
And not a moment too soon. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The climate has always changed dramatically. So do you think humans are causing this change? And do you think that we can stop or slow it down?
I mean, I don't, honestly, I don't know how much is being changed or not, as much as I know that putting electric vehicles on the road is not the answer to what you're doing.
Nikki Haley doesn't know what the problem is, but she knows what the solution isn't. Good stuff. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, well, the fossil fuel companies must pay very, very well to continue this lie, this denial from all of these right-wingers for this many years. What do you have for us today that is not a bunch of lies and denial?
Well, first, for the ninth time in just 2 weeks in the United States, torrential rains have triggered another flash flood disaster. This time in western Kentucky, the town of Mayfield saw a record 11 inches of rain in 24 hours. hours, just a little more than a year after being struck by a catastrophic tornado.
Wow.
According to NOAA, intense rainfall events have increased dramatically in the U.S. since the 1970s due to human-caused global warming because a warmer atmosphere holds more moisture. A new analysis from the nonprofit First Street Foundation warns that official federal flood maps actually underestimate flood risks across the U.S. The researchers warn that outdated flood maps and the lack of a comprehensive national rainfall database are hampering efforts to prepare communities for more frequent intense storms and floods.
How can anyone even prepare for 11 inches of rain in 24 hours?
We'll need to find out.
Unfortunately.
Human-caused climate change, combined with the newly formed El Niño, continue to shatter heat records worldwide. The relentless heat is also triggering wildfires in Canada, California, Syria, Turkey, and Greece. Rome has set new consecutive all-time heat records on a near-daily basis this week. In the Middle East, the heat index, the feels-like temperature of combined heat and humidity, reached an astonishing 152 degrees, approaching the limit of human survivability.
152 degrees.
Yes. Death Valley, California set a new all-time world record for the hottest overnight temperature on the planet, 120 degrees. Mm. And as we go to air, Phoenix has obliterated its record for the most consecutive days at 110 degrees or higher with no signs of stopping. A new study confirms that yes, heat waves are more prolonged now than in the past due to man-made climate change.
You don't say.
Evidence increasingly links melting of the Arctic to a slowdown in the jet stream. That is causing heat domes and storms to stall in place, intensifying their effects. An analysis of data from NOAA shows that in the 50 most populous U.S. cities, heat waves today are more intense and on average last at least a day longer than in the 1960s. And the heat wave season today is about 50 days longer.
Incredible.
The World Meteorological Organization this week warned that governments must do more and more quickly to protect their citizens as these prolonged heat waves and high overnight temperatures increase heat-related deaths.
And yet you have these right-wingers talking to each other on the campaign trail pretending that none of this is happening.
In a press conference, the WMO's John Nairn said that heat waves are among the deadliest of weather disasters, but the extremes unfolding around the world today are going to get worse.
We are seeing continuing growth in the frequency, duration, and intensity of heat waves. These events will continue to grow in intensity, and the world needs to prepare for more intense heat waves. So we're in for a bit of a ride, I'm afraid.
Stop the ride. I want to get off.
But finally, some good news. In the UK, over the first half of July, renewable energy sources accounted for nearly 70% of that country's electricity supply, with the use of coal remaining at zero. And a new study out this week finds that wind and solar projects are on track to account for more than a third of the world's electricity by 2030, demonstrating that the energy sector can change fast enough to meet global climate goals. Plus, rapidly expanding renewable energy is paying off. The study found that the more renewable energy countries install, the cheaper it gets.
Well, I don't know what the problem is, but I know the answer isn't electric cars. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can. She started the heat wave by letting her feet wave. And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can.
Oh, sorry, is that over? Okay, we are in well into the second half of the program, more than. And I'm going to go to the phones here in a second. But I've just got one that I have to, a couple that I got to get off my chest. Yeah, that's probably not an appropriate phrase anymore. Let's get this. You know, a couple of nights ago, I had a most enlightening and enjoyable conversation with a dear friend of mine, Stacy Pace of Spectrum, the other clinic down in Mississippi Stan. And this is just such a perfect example of what she was talking about when she was talking about just how shitty Mississippi government is. This is how far the gender wars have gone. No, I'm not going to, don't you worry. I'm not talking about any of that stuff, okay? I'm not. I'm going to talk for a minute about a completely cisgender, heterosexual, male, Republican member of the legislature in Mississippi, Stan. This is a guy named State Senator Jeremy Englund. I am absolutely certain he is a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian. But apparently he's got enough of a smattering of human decency that even though he's a heterosexual, cisgender guy, he actually cares about the issue of breast cancer awareness. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And so back around Halloween 2020, there was a fundraiser down in Mississippi, Stan. It was for a breast cancer charity. It was the American Cancer Society. And they had, back in 2020, this is important, back in 2020, a fundraising campaign called Real Men Wear Pink. And not to put too fine a point on it, but colors don't have genders. Clothing doesn't have genders. So, at Halloween, State Senator Englund donned a pink onesie with a pink tutu and dyed his hair pink. And along the way, Senator Englund raised $1,600 for breast cancer research. Again, that was 2020. That was before the gender wars and the potty wars and the sports wars and the let's not have kids commit suicide wars really swung into action. That's been back when the Family Policy Research Council Foundation, whatever, was still percolating over what marginalized community they would attack next. But it's 2023 now. And on August the 8th of 2023, Mississippi Stan will have a Republican primary that features a plebiscite on who will be the Republican nominee, that is to say, the next Lieutenant Governor of the state of Mississippi, Stan. Serving, of course, under, I presume, Governor Tate Reeves. Well, Senator Jeremy Englund has voiced his public support. In fact, he did a radio voiceover ad in support of Lieutenant Governor Delbert Hausman, who is the incumbent and acts as the president of the state Senate of Mississippi, of which, again, Jeremy Englund is a member. This gets so tiresome. They're such nasty, vile, vituperative fucks, these maggot gender warriors. Well, a maggot named Melanie Sojourner, who also serves in the Mississippi Stan State Senate, and has aligned herself with incumbent Lieutenant Governor Hausman's opponent, sent a text message to Jeremy Englund saying, "I just want you to know I've seen some potentially damaging information against you." You know what the potentially damaging information was? The picture of Jeremy Englund in the pink onesie, the pink tutu with the pink dyed hair, trying to raise money for research to keep women from needlessly dying of breast cancer. Of which I should note that Melanie Sojourner is much more susceptible than Jeremy Englund. I don't know, maybe Jeremy Englund's beloved one man and one woe man wife has had it. I'm at a point in time now where my primary care physician said he had a mammogram. And I said, "I'm uninsured." He said, "Take that for a no." I said, "You would be correct. So I'll just sit and worry for the time being." He said, "Please, please, if you get insurance, please get one of those." I said, "Believe you, me. Believe you, me. No one wants insurance more than I." But Jeremy Englund said, "My family and I were just sitting there eating dinner, and a text pops up from Melanie Sojourner. Just my picture there with pink hair and a pink onesie." And I want to take a moment here to because I don't have a copy of the picture. At one point in time, onesie meant a garment with snaps in the crotch that one put on a baby for ease of diaper changing. Now the definition has apparently shifted to what once upon a time was referred to as a union suit. Because, of course, down there in the South, they don't like to say the word union for a variety of reasons. You know, Vicksburg and all of that. So I'm guessing he had on basically a pair of long johns that happened to be maybe fuzzy and pink. Although I can't imagine wearing a fuzzy pink pair of cute long johns in Mississippi in October, because it is still brutally hot. But nonetheless, he said, "No, my family and I were just sitting there eating dinner, and a text pops up from Melanie Sojourner, just my picture there with pink hair and a pink onesie. In an obvious attempt to let me know that she thought she had a shameful picture of me. Felt like they were trying to retaliate or bully me." And so he replied to Melanie Sojourner and said, "Well, I wore that there costume back when the pandemic was a-raging and fundraising was doing real bad." And he said, "Melanie appeared to accept the explanation, but there was, the very next day, I saw a tweet from somebody supporting my opponent, calling me a groomer weirdo. Hausman and his groom of weirdos don't have a chance on August the 8th. Over at the Mississippi Free Press, reporter Ashton Pittman said, "The groomer smear has been frequently used against LGBTQ plus people, but it is also increasingly used against anyone who defies gender norms in any way, including by dressing up in a costume for a single night of trick-or-treating and fundraising." So, speaking to that same publication, the Free Press, Jeremy Englund said, "I decided to see if we can't raise some money off of some dirty politics today and turn this into a good cause while calling people out for shameful behavior." And so he's raised $1,600 for breast cancer research. Now, there's one thing I would like to know. And if we have anybody listening down in Mississippi, Stan, who can serve as the Jeremy Englund Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, I'd like to know how Jeremy Englund voted on that bill that Stacey Pace discussed the other evening that made it far more likely that some of her former young patients will try to unalive themselves. Because I'll bet you he voted aye. and sent it on to the desk of Colonel Governor Tink Reeves. But we mustn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good now, must we? Oh my God, why have I fallen into that accent? Happens fairly easily, I'm sorry. Yep, even the straight people are groomer weirdos, and they may be getting closer to the truth there, because about 99.9%, 99.94% of the groomer weirdos actually happen to be, well, you know, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians. Seldom at all do you hear any, see any stories about, no, because that's, because gay people, lesbians and like, they prefer to have sex with grown adults. It's the youth pastors and the ministers and the scout leaders and the like that like to fuck little children. I got that. I wanted to get past that one. And another one, since we're down south now. Morrow is a city in Georgia, and they got a council there, a councilwoman there named Dorothy Dean. And Dorothy Dean got terribly upset, and I presume that she wanted to speak to the manager. Because she attacked a fellow councilwoman there in Morrow, whose name is Von Tron, as you might guess. Ms. Tron is an American of Vietnamese heritage. Morrow City Councilwoman Dorothy Dean said that Ms. Tron failed as a citizen of this country and dishonored her office because she supported a petition that would let ballots for Spanish speakers and Vietnamese speakers be published for the city election. I mean, it was all there, it's recorded and everything. I would like you to know that I feel as a citizen of this city and as a fellow council member that you do not deserve to sit on that dais as an elected official. You have failed in your oath of office. You have failed as a citizen of this country. You disregarded and you dishonored the oaths that you took as an American citizen. I'd like to say that it is un-American and inexcusable. Shame on you, Van Tron! And Dorothy Dean went on and said, "Your petition offends me as a woman of color who has had to march and stand in lines and protest to get the right to vote." I guess Miss Morrow doesn't seem to remember that there was a time when Georgia had things like poll taxes and literacy tests. Von Tron responded in much more dignified fashion than had Miss Morrow. "There is nothing more patriotic and American than helping American citizens fulfill their duty to vote. I am providing access to voting for all American citizens. It is offensive to call the many languages spoken by American citizens as foreign." A member of the Georgia State Legislature, Longtron, who is of no relation to the city councilwoman, a son of Vietnamese refugees, said he expects there to be protests at the next scheduled city council meeting next week in Morrow. Representative Tron said, "She's scapegoating immigrants. We are not an English-only state or nation. Immigrants dream of the day they become citizens to fulfill their duty to vote. We should help them exercise their right to vote when we can." Oh, God. Maybe Dorothy Morrow is friends with, I don't know, Velveeta King. And they're one of the good ones. A reminder, every marginalized group has its undue share of boot kissers and lick spittles. But enough of that. We are entering the third hour of the program. $170 to go to finish fundraising for a week ago yesterday. If we can just slow the upward climb of the deficit, it would be wonderful. I hate to mention it, but by God, we are in, this is existential crisis territory for this little broadcast effort. But over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm sorry you had to wait. I had to get that out of the way.
Hi, it's Christine, wife of David, Christine in the blind.
Christine, how lovely to hear from you.
Yeah, I imagine David told you about my little adventure last week.
I heard you went walkabout.
Yeah, it didn't quite go as planned. However, I was listening to idiot as just publicly humiliate Hunter Biden, and I just want to give her a hug, you know, the kind that bones and stuff snapping.
Yes.
How can, I'm thinking, he's a private citizen. My God. It's like, I had to listen to this four times, and I looked at Deb like, this girl's off her rocker. I mean, I have mental issues, but she makes me look absolutely freaking stable.
Christine, she's not okay. At some point in time...
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. But the thing is, I have friends in the community. I have friends and family members in the community. And then, you know, I had family members with addiction issues. And contrary to her opinion, that runs the whole gamut of society. My heart just broke when I heard that.
As naturally it would.
I mean, I've lost too many family members to addictions. Now, my twin brother is heavily addicted to alcohol, and I'm fearful of losing him. But thankfully, my addictions, huh?
It is a hell of a painful thing.
Yes, it is. Now, my addictions are, you know, books. I've never heard anybody from an overdose of books. And I learned long ago to manage my finances, because then another problem I had was just indiscriminate spending. I just completed at Chapter 13. And I'm still trying to buy my mobile home, and management is throwing obstacles in my way. I had to do the still fits in the rubber glove bit. I mean, all I asked them to do was, I asked them to do a simple thing, and all they did was throw crap at me and stolen stuff. I said, okay, enough. So I did the full court press, including Dave, and they finally got somebody out here to fix it. But we're still trying to get my contract. It's at least with an option to buy, and those rarely end well, but people I'm working with has from a company that upgraded the cover that, since that seems to be the rage these days. But this is horrendous. It's just money, money, money. This greed is crazy. They can't take it with them. And it's all about power. I admit it's all about power. Now, I was once involved with an idiot. I had accidentally gotten pregnant and lost a pregnancy. And he's, oh my God, I can't talk about him because if I think of him, this phone's going to explode in my hand. But I told him, I said, you know what? If you could have found Donald Trump's teeny beanie, weenie, he'd be nursing on it. Because he was following the Hunter Biden laptop story. He was totally off base. He said Biden was selling, secrets. No. How about that National Guardsman that actually did it? I haven't heard anything of him. If anybody knows what's happened to him, I would like to know. Oh my God, this is crazy. Hunter is a private citizen. He admitted to his wrongdoing. I mean, the Republicans get thrown when their plan don't go on schedule. And we're enjoying the best economy in my lifetime. And what does Dingbat do? She's trying to tear down Biden. And, I've yet to see come up with something constructive. All they do is just blow flack and just beat the fans of hatred. This is not the government I was born to believe in. That is not what I nearly died in military service twice to deal with.
That's a lot.
Yeah, everybody told me, like I said, I was there for almost 14 minutes, and everybody said, well, God has a plan for you. I said, well, God has an odd sense of humor. And I said, a lot of my friends told me I'll wake up one day and, I have all my sight back. Now, I'm not really sure. I think, I don't know. Because I would use my renewed sight for worldly pursuits. And if my mother was a Baptist, and I was taught early on that if you walk that way, you could not be of the world. And since I like playing Texas Hold'em for money, and I would love to be able to do that again, if for no other reason, it's to go up to Carmel, Indiana, at the Lions Club and clean those boys out regularly. I don't know. It's just a religious paradox. And when I talk to the chaplain's office over at the VA, all I get is, nonsense. I mean, it was hard enough when I lost the pregnancy. And I asked the chaplain, why would God give me such a gift and take it away? And the chaplain at the time said, Christine, maybe he feels that it just wasn't meant. I understand that. I mean, it's been almost a decade. At least I don't have meltdown on Mother's Day. I mean, pain never really goes away, but it's still there. And this guy is still as insensitive sensitive as a rock. I mean, he'll drive 2 hours all over the state to visit friends and family. I only live like maybe 20 minutes southeast of him. He won't do it. I said, why? I guess he's afraid of being seen in public because his family was politically powerful in Carmel one time. And, you know, I was like, you're so worried about what people think of you. I said, in here, you know, maybe you showing up would discourage some of the nuttier of my neighbors from trying to do a home invasion. I just, you know, it's like, ugh. And after I heard this, I'm praying he doesn't call because I'd like to take his head off. I mean, he'll call and whine about the job and whine about this and whine about that. I said, well, you know, you're going to handle it in the usual non-handling manner. Either, you know, I have to poop or get off the toilet.
Yeah, yeah, you can say shoot or get off the pot here. I mean, the FCC has no jurisdiction, yeah. Christine.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to, you know, curb my profanity.
No, no, being all really ladylike. And, yeah. And Dave has told us in the past.
Oh, no, I'm no lady.
Dave has told
I am
us
no
in,
lady.
Dave has told us in the past about how you go and clean out the simpletons at the poker table.
Oh, yes. If I can get, I know my vision's doing something because something is changing. I'm just not sure what. I am getting better vision. I can't quite get sharp focus because I can see print, but it's not my vision. It's not quite sharp enough to, you know, get it down. And I have an eye exam at the VA next month. Now, hope to get a recommendation to an ophthalmologist. St. Francis Hospital here, Franciscan Health, they have a clinic that deals with visual problems caused by strokes. And I hope I can get an appointment. In the meantime, I'm learning Braille, and I've discovered a couple of things. Long fingernails interfere with reading it. I had a manicure and a pedicure this past weekend, but man, I don't like it when my fingernails get past my fingertips. I mean, it's just, I've always had that problem. First of all, I was in food service, which means we could not have long nails, and they go faster when I tell them manicure, no polish. And I've been going to these guys for years, even before I went blind. But, you know, the food safety laws here state clearly, no polish, no French nails. So they offered to put French nails on my lips.
I had never thought about that before, but that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to go and get my nails done sometimes, and I mean, it even screws with.
But they're not going to put French nails on you.
Almost, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Robin. My apologies.
Oh no, you're fine. No, I love French. I love French nails.
Yeah, but for me, you know. You really can't do a lot. You can't wash dishes. You can't. I do a lot of physical work around my own house. And they're not allowed in the restaurants. And if you think about it, I hate to be vulgar, but what happens when you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You got to clean down there, and, you know, no matter how many times you wash your hands, if you're working in food service and you go to the bathroom, don't you even think about touching my food.
Oh, no, that's why the hand-washing stations in a restaurant include, and so do health regulations, nail brushes.
Yes.
You don't just wash your hands. There's a nail. In most restaurants have a hand-washing station in the kitchen that has a nail brush.
Yeah. But still, just the idea, because the nail could break off and wind up in somebody's food. And customers can be unreasonable when that happens. These lawsuits. Since we're a litigation-happy country, I mean, I cannot sue VA because of what they did to me. And I just realized, you know, I have to learn to pick my battles. Although, it's funny when the clinic calls me and I give them my last name and last four, they call me sir, and I just wait. What's your first name? Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. Allow them to have the grace to apologize. Yes, I understand my voice is deep. And the first thing they say is, sir or worse, they call me Christina. And the only people that can do that is Hispanics, because I used to deliver to Hispanics. And that is my name in Spanish. They're the only ones that will permit, because, you know, technically they're correct. But Americans that speak English, no. My name is Christine, not Christina.
Right.
If I had middle name, I wouldn't use Christine.
No middle name?
My husband and I are the only ones in the family without middle name.
I see.
Well, my twin brother, they took him out first, and he had a hole in his heart. They sold my mom back up and rushed, you know, they were rushing him to surgery and didn't stop to see if, you know, someone else was up there. And my mom started yelling and screaming, and they said, "What's the matter, Mrs. Graham? There's another one up there." So they had to, and they didn't, you know, give her a painkiller or anything. They just ripped her right back open and pulled me out. And if you think I get blue, ooh, wait, when I think about my mom, and she died too young of brain cancer. Because I was listening to another program earlier, and somebody died of some sort of brain cancer, and this is what my mom had. And, you know, she kept telling the doctor something was wrong, and they said, "It's all in your head." Well, yeah, it got there. And my one of my maternal twin aunts went ahead, because mama begged her to put her out of her misery. And my aunt Thelma said that was... She cried for years over that decision. And when she finally confessed, because I would go visit my mom's side of the family. Well, I would, because the rest of my siblings didn't care for them. But I would visit Aunt Boleyn and Uncle June. And they were always there for me. One day when I got married on our wedding day, we went to Aunt Boleyn's and Uncle June's, and we almost wound up in jail that night. The neighbors next to my aunt and uncle got a little rude. We all wanted to throw down. But my aunt said, "No, y'all, they're not worth it." And even now, you know, I've always had a problem with casual touch. I finally, at all the bars I still go to, I finally got the drunk to stop just coming up and put their hands on me. Had a bash one. Because I told them, I said, "You put your hands on me again, I'm gonna break your hands. You feel me?" He got up. He was totally drunk. He fell down. He fell against me. I punched him in the face and pushed him right off me. And then when the service came out, said, "Christy, are you having a problem?" I said, "Yeah, this piece of trash put his hands on me." And the guy was encouraged not to return.
Never stops, does it?
Well, sometimes when I get physical, you know, it stops. I didn't like, you know, casual touch when I could see. there's a lot of places I won't be able to go. Like, I want some one of my old barber invited me to a what was the name? Kit something. It was a show that was going to be in a Cat Williams show that was going to be at the Lucas Oil Stadium. As in, was he invited me out somewhere before and didn't tell me until we were there? That to me, if somebody invites me out, you know, I expect them to pay because, you know, Dave and I have done that for decades. If he invites me out, he'll pay. Or usually we just, you know, go Dutch. This guy waits till the server comes and he says separate checks. It's like, you know, after my meal costs $21 plus tip, and I then take me home. I said, don't you ever do that to me again. He calls himself a Muslim, or rather, of Islam. He's trying his best to get me to marry him. I'll marry David again first.
Am I hearing Dave playing Peanut Gallery in the background?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yes, ma'am, you are.
It's true. He just sees me as an asset.
Now, what?
It's just, I had, you know, after I had the stroke, my VA and Social Security benefits, you know, while I was in the coma, it kept stacking up. Like I said, I had learned to manage my funds, and I just, you know, really paid attention to my cash flow and stuff, and did some wise investing now, and I made sure I have a burial plan because David and I bought a crypt at the cemetery, and we joke about me stealing his lid. I realized I didn't have a box for my ashes because I opted for cremation because, you know, burying in the ground is hideously expensive. But yeah, because this guy tried to usurp my financial privileges before.
I hate that kind of predatory behavior.
Yeah, he's misogynistic too. Because, I had told him where I wanted to go to get my power chair, and he took me somewhere else. And I was getting ready to try to walk the door, and he grabbed my arm. I said, Yusuf, I'd like to try this by myself. He got all loud and offended. I said, look, you can either walk me in here or take me back home. I didn't ask you to bring me here. I paid $1,000 more for this recliner than I should have unless I had went back to the place I wanted to. I think I finally got him off my back because I hadn't heard, last time I heard from him was the day they delivered this chair over a month ago. Haven't heard from him since, which is good. Because I told him, I said, yeah, you might dream of, you know, go walking down the aisle, but you'll be by yourself. I told you before, I told you 20 years ago, I'm not converting. This guy's been chasing me for better than 20 years.
Oh, that's so gross.
It's so idiotic. I mean, Islam has a number of things I just do not agree with. The main one being, you know, I'm supposed to be subservient to father, husband, what have you.
Yeah, the main one being the you know, that women are garbage.
Yeah. Of course, he's interpreting the Quran to his advantage. And he has a grown son, but he's been trying to sire more sons. Now, I said, I'm sorry, you just decided to breed to inferior stock because his two daughters' kids, their mother is in a mental hospital in Chicago. He said, well, they need a mom. I said, they have a mom. I said, I pop people that can be step-parents. I'm just not one of them. My dad never remarried after my mom died. But there was a lot of women wanting to, you know, because after mama passed, we got, you know, he got, there was still like most of them, which got Social Security, her Social Security, because she worked up to 2 weeks before she passed. So he had money, not to mention he had his VA pension. They were 25 years apart in age. So, you know, to a woman on the make, yeah, he was money in the bank. Now, to his credit, you know, Dad did sit me down. He said, okay, when I was 16, he said, okay, you're 16 years old, you got a job. And, you know, this is, he told me, you know, I had to pay my share. My father and I never really did get along for most of our lives, but he at least gave me that penny. Because if I had been separated, if CPS would have took my twin brother and I and separated us, we both would have died. The shock of losing mom just totally unbalanced me. And he was just, he was drinking even then, trying to emulate my dad. But he, at least my oldest sister moved back home with her young son. So, you know, I was able to come stay at home until I left for college. And then when I found out that Dad had a stroke, and I was like, why didn't y'all tell me? Well, at that point, my grandmother passed. And they waited 6 months after they buried her to tell me. I said, why? They said, you reacted so badly when mama died. I said, I am 22 years old, not a 12-year-old, mostly shattered teenager. I mean, my family spends more time trying to protect me from either myself or David because, you know, they would have never known about our business until David and I got a divorce because David and I set things in place years prior. And even then, after, you know, after our divorce was final, they tried to start matchmaking again. And they're these super duper holy rollers. Oh my God. God protect me from your followers. But it's like, no. Cause even one of my friends said I should remarry. I said, what for? I said, I don't need someone else's baggage. If I want to go up and go down to the casino and blow $100, I can do it. I mean, I have a budget for everything. But everybody's urging me to get married so I wouldn't be alone. That's a bad reason to get married. Dave and I married for the wrong reasons, but at least, you know, we recognized, you know, we messed up. We apologized to each other. We forgave each other. And we're still the best of friends. And Dave is still my backup. I think my family finally figured out, you know, time to move on. But I just don't, you know, everybody, I guess, there's this insane pressure to pair off. I told my friend, oh, you think I should remarry? You first. Remarry your ex.
Yeah, once is enough. Tried it.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, how are Christine? I mean, overall, how are you doing? How are you feeling? I mean, do you feel like you're making it back?
Oh yeah, yes. I'm applying for guide dog training at the school in Morriston, New Jersey.
Yeah, Dave told us about that. That's wonderful news.
Yeah. My trainer bought a mock harness. And I have to apply to see if there's a waiting list. Because there's still a couple of things she wants to work on with me. But yes, I think a dog would be helpful because water will distort my environment beyond recognition. We had thunderstorms this morning and last night. At one time I got caught in a thunderstorm. It was just, everything was just changed. And yeah, my little walkabout last week, okay. Enthusiasm got the better of my common sense.
I understand. Of course, it's not like that's never happened to me.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like I told my biz coordinator, I do hurry up and wait. I don't do sit around and wait. And I can't imagine why my neighbors think I want to sit up here and twiddle my thumbs. I got things to do, people to see, landlords to foil. And my neighbors are just a crazy bunch. We had a pizza delivery, and the driver almost delivered it next door. Thankfully, he had called David to confirm, because, yes, I have a wheelchair ramp, because stairs are hazardous. It's not so much the tumble, it's that sudden stop.
Yeah, it's always the sudden stop. Hey, I meant to mention something, because Dave and I were talking about something last night, Christine. Might be a fun treat for you too. I don't know if Dave heard me last night, but Brother Deacon Asa, when we started giving Dave grief about trying poutine, Brother Deacon Asa went and found the best poutine in Taliban Indianapolis. Dave, since you're in the background,
where is it?
It is called the 20 Tap.
The 20
tab? Uh-huh.
Where is it?
I'll look it up.
I'm looking it up for you right now.
It sounds like a bar.
Yeah, it is of sorts. It is at 5406 to 08 North College Avenue, Indianapolis.
That's my neighborhood.
Yes.
That's right near the pond.
Yeah.
For a mile.
Oh, yeah.
They got dine-in and they got take-out, but no delivery. And you don't want delivery poutine anyway. It's just not going to make the trip.
No. No, I think I'll make the
trip. We'll make the trip. Because my trainer told me I had to really get around using Lyft and Uber, but the local bus system here, I'd have to walk to the bus stop. It's outside the complex, my trailer complex. And, you know, between my trailer and that's at least a half mile walk to the entrance. And then I have to cross. If I'm going north, I have to walk backwards about 500 feet to the shelter. If I'm going south, I have to cross the street. And Shortridge Road is busy. I mean, they don't look. One of the arguments I get into with my friend, you know, I keep telling her, my hearing's a little more acute, and she says, what's the difference? I said, you can see and I can't, and she just blows it off. But, you know, she's going blind too, so I imagine when she finally does go blind, she's going to find out everything I've tried to tell her is absolutely possible.
Sadly, some people have to learn things for themselves.
She's from California.
I just looked up the menu there at the 20 Tap. Now, it says they've got beer-battered cheese curds, choice of two house sauces, and they got house-seasoned fries, and you can add beer cheese for $2, choice of two house sauces.
They got steak?
No, it's mainly a burger and sandwich place.
Okay. David. Help me, I'm now up to medium rare, because I used to have well done. And that's it, well, gee. So I'm now at medium rare. I haven't quite got the stones to go totally rare. Because that knucklehead friend that I told you about, the other knucklehead, not the Islam guy. He took me to the casino in Anderson, Indiana, where they had the horse races. And I could see at that point. And I, you know, I thought I asked him tough questions, but he kept looking and acting like he was afraid somebody he knew would see him. And I told him, I said, man, this was a disappointment. I said, I wanted your opinion because I wanted to try to place bets. But no, you treated me like a charity case. I've never asked charity of anyone. I'm getting to the point where I'm being able to just ask for help. Because a lot of people complain, I never ask for help. Well, if I'm treated like a retard, you know, what's the point?
Kind of takes asking for help off the table, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like I said, my psychologist at VA, we used to be up in Bloomington. And the psychiatric social worker said I had borderline intellectual functioning. Now, you hear how I speak. Could you imagine that I have borderline intellectual functioning?
Not by my lights. Nope.
Yeah, because my psychologist, he read that, he said, is this for real? I said, yep.
But you asked me what you thought it meant.
I said, does this mean what I think it means? He said, what do you think? He said, he's saying I'm mentally retarded. He said, he laughed. He said, seriously? And for a while there, I thought it was on the spectrum, but he said, no. And he's been treating me for 20 years, so I'm pretty sure I'm now on the spectrum. But, you know, I'm on the introvert spectrum, I guess. Because, you know, a lot of times, I'm perfectly content with my own company. I get tired of people trying to push other people on me. As in, you know, dates. There's a program here in Indianapolis on one of the radio stations. It says, asking for a friend. And from what I understand is, you know, I guess they're trying to pair off people by, you know, hey, I got a friend that, you know, so on and so forth. I mean, so far the relationships I've had in my life has been less than satisfactory. The one marriage I had, it didn't work. You know what? I'm happy being single. I'm absolutely content being single. And if I am granted a miracle enough that I can see large print card, all them bitches better run. The New Palestine and Carmel, New Palestine. Oh yeah, all you bitches better run because Kristen is back. Because a few of the more ignorant ones said, "Man, I'm glad you can't see." And you know, they just talk shit. Nothing. You better thank your lucky stars I can't, because one of the first things I would do is take your ass right out of it. Because I regularly busted this woman when I could see. She talked a lot of shit, and I was just bust her right out. And then she complained and whined. And the men are the worst. Oh, my God. I mean, it's supposed to be, it's free poker, but some of those guys really take it badly when they lose to a woman. And I had one guy that was just a bully. I have no respect for bully poker. Because, you know, his name was Willie, and he would just, you know, big ball, which is, you know, go all in before it flop. That's a cost. Clean his ass, or cripple him to the point where he just gets mad, throws his chips in, and leaves. I told him, I said, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of any man in this bar. We all better be thankful I can't play yet. Because when I do, all you bitches better run.
Well, the bar owner gave you a set of welcome.
Yeah, I know. And I should, you know, 2 years ago when I first went, I was thinking about learning read Braille, but for some stupid reason, I didn't. And now I have Braille cards, and I know the Braille alphabet up to J.
That's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah. They have the Poker for Sight tournament twice a year. I already missed the May tournament. They have one near the holidays. And if I'm ready for that, I'll try for it. If not, I'll try for next May. But the casinos here will not accommodate, you know, visually impaired customers. Which means I can't try for World Series or World Poker Tour.
World Series, yeah.
Shelbyville already told me they don't accommodate the visually impaired players.
But the tournament does allow it.
Yeah.
Depends on what state you're in.
Well, Indiana?
Yeah.
Nevada,
they will accommodate.
Oh, yeah, but not here. And, I mean, one time I had. When I can see it, Dave and I hope we can get to a final table and then be the last two because it would be the battle of the sexes. Yeah. And Dave's better at blackjack, but I excel at poker. I don't know if he told you about the story. We went to a Texas Roadhouse and, he busted out and he warned her that I was the better player. And she scoffed and I cleaned her right out. And she started whining.
Girl.
I looked at her. Oh, yeah. I don't get along real well with other women. I mean, I have a very small circle of women friends of which I hold you in high esteem.
Thank you.
Absolute high esteem. And it's like, I just had bad experiences with girls growing up and then through my teen years and then my adult years because I had a female psychologist and she told me I should sell my car. I said, what for? Because I worked in another part of the county from Bloomington. I worked west of Bloomington. She said, well, you don't need the car because you don't need to be working. I looked at her, I said, are you cracked? Before I started Liberty driving, I was on psych meds, and psych meds are hard. When I did my first delivery, it was on my birthday, it was Super Bowl day, and there was ice storm in Indy, because they took me to see True Grit with a who was that?
The new one.
So it was clear when we came in, and when we came out, it was an ice storm. Then one of my headlights went out. So we followed the salt truck all the way back. The next day was Super Bowl day. That was almost my last day until I had to deliver downtown, and the yuppies started giving me $20 in cash for tips. I said, I can learn to drive on ice. Now I'm a mercenary.
Wait a minute. You got a cowbell, Christine.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, VA said, you should volunteer. I said, why? I said, if somebody volunteered for me, I mean, they've made pretty short shrift of it. And if I can volunteer, then I can demand money for my services, which I did. Oh, yes. And then one day, Dave and I went to the homeless shelter and made fresh bread. That's one of the regrets I cannot, it's going to take a long time, but I would love to be able to make bread again. I don't have all the proper tools yet. But once I can get that done, because I still love to cook. I have a gas stove where I don't like, you know, having to deal with it. But this trailer is not wired for an electric convection, so it will burn down. And, you know, I got tired of moving every 2 years, and I moved in here almost 3 years ago with the idea of buying. I didn't realize a COVID shot would give me a stroke and just change my whole world.
Threw everything into chaos, didn't it?
That's when they ran it mildly. So when they had jumpstart me a couple of times. So if anybody hit me with a taser, I'm going to look at them like, is that all you got? I mean, the knucklehead from Carmel, he got hit with a taser, and he's 6'8", very big. He was going to electric boogaloo. I looked at him, I said, you know what? If somebody hit me with a taser, I look at him like, really? Is that all you got? I mean, I do remember feeling them shock me because I was unloading my car and I was walking toward my front door with groceries. Everything went black. And then I felt something like I was being fried. Thankfully, they put this yell on me. Otherwise, my movies will look like, you know, pieces of meat. And then the guy with the pink tutu, I'm thinking, how dare they? Don't they understand men can get breast cancer too?
Why is it? But that's not what it's about, Christine. It's about,
I know.
It's about the batshit crazy reactionary response and insistence on the part of conservatism that everybody be
the same.
Well, yeah.
Normal.
And that there can be no fluidity of gender whatsoever, and that even if you're raising $1,600 for breast cancer research, by God, you better do it like a man. Whatever like a man means.
Oh, my God. Don't sound like there's a man among any of them. Sound like a bunch of bitches to me.
Kind of does, don't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a woman and I get mistaken for a man all the time. I wear pearls. And, you know, some guys don't. I mean, I'm a short person. You can't help but look down. What color are my eyes? Usually guys are supposed to, their eyes are supposed to travel south. Now, you know, I'm a pretty bosomy lady. And guys still, you know, they look down, but they don't see the boobies. Okay, they're not paying attention. I'm wearing pearls. I've got a big chest and a, no. Well, what's really worse, when I had to deliver in the housing project, are the women. Because they think I'm trying to steal their man. I looked at them and said, look, if you don't trust them, why do you think I want them?
There we go.
Mm-hmm. I got too many men. Well, my exception of Dave chasing me because I'm an asset. I have assets that they would like to get in charge of. Sure. I'll slit your throat first. I mean, I told this guy, I told the barber, I said, you know what? You bet if you ever put your hands on me, if you ever hit me, I got enough medication to knock your butt out. I'll tie you to a bed. I'll slit your genitals and put some eyeshadow in them.
Ow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can get much worse. I tell them I'll probably just, you know, beat off while I'm watching you screaming. Oh, yes. I've been abused too much in my life by men. You know, if they figure they can put their hands on me with impunity, well, guess what? Well, it cuts both ways. I mean, Farrah Fawcett had the right idea with the burning bed, but arson's illegal.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Yes.
That's two.
Thank you.
That's two. Hey, Christine, I got a roll, hon, yeah. But it is great hearing from you. You sound wonderful. It sounds like you're making progress by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, and tomorrow I'm going to do walkabout again.
All right, just do it the right way, you hear?
I will. Thanks, guys. Love you all.
Oh, we love you, Christine. Love you too, Dave.
Bye, Robin.
Bye, Robin.
All right, bye. Nobody is going to keep Christine down. And Christine is going to take no crap from no one, for a fact. I'm so glad that call came through. It's so good to call. I haven't talked to Christine in forever. Thanks for helping her out, Dave. And you gotta give us a review of 20 Tap when you go. Menu looks pretty damn good, really. So that's pretty much the program for the evening, because anything else I would go into, I can't say my name in 9 minutes. Okay. So we got down to $1,970 to go to get caught up. That means tomorrow will be, oh my goodness, $2,270 to go. That may be one of the steepest Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracles we've ever tried to accomplish. But thanks so much to everybody who keeps pitching in, keeps trying to help, keeps trying to keep this whole thing on the air and keep me from spontaneously combusting. I guess I am cheating by a few minutes, but it's still 80 degrees in here, and, well, I'm kind of psyched to go out into the air conditioning. I mean, the air conditioning's going here. It just can't keep up. South-facing windows, all that stuff. I'm sure we will have an abundance to talk about tomorrow. There's a story I've been kind of... There's testimony taking place in Texas right now in a lawsuit against the state of Texas. Over their misogynistic law trying to regulate the ability of women to control the workings of their own bodies. And there are horror stories coming out of this. We probably need to go into that. I don't know if I got another. One last thing on the way out the door. A little today in January 6th convictions. Federico Klein, who was a political appointee of Nitwit Nero, was convicted today of 7 felonies in relation to the domestic terror attack on the Capitol of January the 6th, 2021. You know, one of these days, the for-profit media will catch up with us and realize that it was a domestic act of domestic terrorism. Till then, we'll just go forward being correct. Yeah, 7 felonies. He was an employee of the State Department during the Nitwit Nero nightmare. And assaulting, resisting, or repeating officers, obstruction of an official proceeding, civil disorder, and a raft of misdemeanors. And he was present in the tunnel when the worst of the violence happened. Real piece of work, Federico O'Klein. Wonder where he ever would have gotten the idea to do that. course, he had his red maggot hat on. U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden, a MAGAT appointee, convicted him after a bench trial last week. He was going to go to trial alongside two other co-defendants, but one of them wised up and pled guilty. That's Christopher Quaglin. And he was tried, Klein was, alongside Stephen Capuccio of, where else, Texas. Capuccio ripped an officer's mask off and took part in an effort to charge law enforcement to breach the line. Klein's pettifogger, a guy named Stanley Woodward, said, well, what my client was doing in the tunnel was in the eye of the beholder. My goodness, that's some table pounding. And said that prosecution didn't prove his case. No. So Judge McFadden took a long look and said, Guilty, 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 guilty. Seven felonies. I hope this domestic, you know, Supermax in Florence, Colorado would be fine. These rotten domestic terrorists need to spend the rest of their lives being neighbors with the blind sheik. You know, now that the Unabomber has gone to hell. But I don't have a lot of confidence in Trevor McFadden, MAGAT appointee, to take, because, you know, it's one thing to convict him, it's another thing to sentence him. Curiously, this all took place on the same day that the grand jury was meeting in the same building where the grand jury is deciding whether or not to indict, among others, Federico Klein's God Emperor. Another guy was testifying in the same building that day, former White House aide William Russell. One wonders if he's the same one who got the target letter. We don't know. The grand jury was hearing testimony from William Russell, and Stanley Woodward was representing him, too. Gets to the point where you kind of need a program, doesn't it? And this is not the first time Russell has testified before the grand jury. And the grand jury is considering three charges against Julius Geiser: deprivation of rights, conspiracy to defraud the U.S., and tampering with a witness. Ooh, the conspiracy charge. That means there's other people. What's curious is that in Federico Klein's case, Woodward apparently told the judge that federal prosecutors were asking his client Russell about issues touching upon executive privilege. The trial of Klein was delayed. And pettifogger Woodward said, well, I had to go back to the grand jury room, Your Honor. I couldn't leave my client in the grand jury when he was being asked questions that specially involved executive privilege. And this kind of shows McFadden's maggoty nature. He said,
the government lawyers aren't doing what I told them to.
And so he summoned the prosecutors out of the grand jury room, thereby impeding their progress with the grand jury. And so Thomas Windham, part of Jack Smith's team, three of his colleagues, showed up in McFadden's court. And then the four lawyers for the government left. And the NBC News story says that it looks like Smith and his team are looking hard at the fake electors scheme, which, of course, Dana Nessel, Attorney General in Michigan, indicted on that just this week. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen, but it seems like I said, the heat in the pressure cooker is definitely on the rise. So there, that's the program. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers and our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much this evening for the help that you gave. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you so much. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Hey, y'all, like and subscribe, please. Like and subscribe on the podcast. Really helps. Seeing some little increases in downloads. And, you know, I was doing a little cheap ciphering last night when I looked at the number. Now, this is just at Podbean. This doesn't take in other platforms like White Rose. And we haven't, you know, this program's been on the air for 20 years, or nearly. Well, more than, yeah. It'll be 20 years in 2024 as its own program. Internet only in 2025. But anyway, we've been at this for 20 years. And Podbean, golly, I don't remember how long we've been on here. But just Podbean alone, people have listened, and this is, I mean, it blows my mind. I mean, granted, it's not Pink Shrek numbers or anything like that. Then again, you couldn't pay me money to be Pink Shrek. You know, Joe Rogaine. But with just Podbean and just audio, no video, I mean, this is amazing. People have listened to 1.8 million hours of this little independent, non-capitalist, non-commercial, progressive broadcast. And that blows my mind. And it humbles me. So thanks. Leave a comment for the algorithms, please. Tell your friends and neighbors, share the podcast. The podcast is shareable from my Facebook page every evening. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know. Folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe, everybody. Get your booster if you can. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots or any general group of people you don't know for sure are safe. Especially around the maggots, because they don't give a tinker's damn about anybody but themselves, and they're even willing to die with the virus because they're fucking stupid. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry some with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And if somebody comes towards you on the sidewalk talking about how the virus was engineered to kill Caucasians and black people, but not the Jews or the Chinese, well, avoid rotted FK like the plague. Because he is. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later.